we weren't trying to time the 11 o'clock chimes to start at exactly the point that he was resurrected. So that was quite impressive, wasn't it? Maybe I should just stop there and we can just reflect on that significant moment. You know, Jesus, he could not have taken on the full weight of brokenness, the burden of sin, without first experiencing the deep sense of abandonment that is at its very core. Sin is at its heart, it's a breakdown of relationships. It's this feeling of being utterly alone and vulnerable. And Jesus felt this. We know that he did because he said it. And although there's been questions over whether Jesus could really have been separated from God in essence, we do know that he willingly experienced this sense of deep burden, this aloneness, this abandonment, as did God. And we see this starkly in one of his last gifts. And we'll be remembering this when we come to the table, because it was one of his final gifts before he died, where he lifted up the cup and he said that this is a new covenant poured out in my blood. It was poured out for us in love. And yet when he thirsted on the cross, what did we give him? A vinegar-soaked sponge. Such a contrast between what Jesus was willing to experience for what he gave for us. And if we widen our perspective and zoom out from just Jesus on the cross, then we see that everyone in that story would have felt this sense of abandonment. The women go into the tomb. The disciples. Jesus. It was a story of hopelessness, of abandonment. And despite all of the celebration that we come here today, perhaps there are some of you who are actually feeling abandoned today, or things are feeling a bit hopeless. Well, the tragedy of abandonment is that it can cause us not to trust others. It can especially cause us not to trust God out of some self-preservation, that we don't want to trust in something to only find out that trust isn't going to be given back to us, that we might be rejected or forsaken. It creates a self-defense mechanism that does not open up to others. And it doesn't allow that necessary healing to work within our heart. But the amazing thing is that is not how the story ended. We know that there is good news. It says in John that his life, Jesus' life, brought life to everyone. It says that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. And when I think of that, I can't help but think of my own experiences, whether it's when I did my mountain leader assessment in the middle of the night, or whether I'm out on a rescue as part of mountain rescue in the night looking for people. And it's a thick darkness. But I can imagine what it must be like when somebody is out feeling desperate, alone, all of their ways of communicating have gone dead. And yet they see that twinkling light in the distance. Immediately, I can imagine that there's that sense of beginning to calm down, that sense of beginning to feel that this is the time. Maybe I'm going to be rescued. And I kind of picture that. And I imagine that. And I think about the fact that the reality is despite the willingness that Jesus experienced of this sense of abandonment, the amazing truth of the resurrection is that we learn that God never abandoned him. In fact, it was as Jesus had gone and delved into the depths of the darkness, we can assume that God only sought out that very light in the darkness and raised him from the clutches of the burden, the weight of sin, of abandonment. If the story had ended on the cross, the tragedy of abandonment would have been unbearable. There would have been no hope, but it didn't. And we can see that in the words that the bright, dazzling angels had said to the women when they came to the tomb. They said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." This was a challenge. Why do you look for the light among the darkness? The resurrection promises that God does not, that he will not, that he will never, ever abandon us. And there is that promise on the cross that when we feel abandoned in life, that even when everything else that we depended upon has rejected us, there is a promise that God, he will never abandon us. He will never reject us. He will never leave us forsaken. Sin did not break God. That is the amazing good news of the resurrection. Instead, love has broken the power of sin in Jesus Christ. And the cross, it speaks of the depths of the darkness of sin. It is a representation of the severity of the breakdown of relationship between God and us and each other. We see that in the full gravity and the weight of the cross. But the resurrection, that speaks of the amazing love relationship between the Father and the Son. And the amazing thing is that as God reached for his Son and raised him again, so that Jesus, we'll learn next week, came to be reunited in his family, to sit at the right-hand side of his Father. The amazing thing is that love that plunges to that depth, that never abandons, this is the same love that invites us in to that family, to be adopted heirs, to receive this promise of resurrection in our lives. That is not just the promise of life eternal. It's the promise of a quality of life today that we can begin to experience. It's a promise of that assurance that we have in the Father, that we won't ever be abandoned. It's that promise that true adoption is knowing that you are accepted no matter what. You're never alone because you will always have a home. Christ offers us a sure and certain hope by which we can live. Isn't that the amazing truth of the resurrection? And so if we go back to the Psalms, we realize that God never broke that promise. We realize that it is a promise that we are able to always, no matter what we go through, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter how anybody else has let us down, we know that God will always be present with us, that we are able to walk in his presence forever and never feel alone. It says in Psalm 16, "I keep the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure, for you do not give up on Sheol or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, which is demonstrated in your willingness to reach down into the depths, the weight of sin, and to raise Jesus from the death. We thank you that in that very act of absolute love, that we are invited into your family. I pray this morning that if there's anyone that is feeling hopeless or abandoned or alone, that they might be able to open their heart to you, to allow your presence, your resurrected life in Jesus Christ into their hearts. We pray, Lord, that we will all be able to demonstrate this sense of presence to each other that we found in you. We pray that we will overflow with the love that you have demonstrated on the cross, so that we might demonstrate this to the world, the kind of love that won't ever leave somebody alone or hopeless, the kind of love that points to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.